Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching. Hello and welcome. Today's guest brings a delightfully unconventional journey into the world of healing. He started out in the high-stress world of electrical engineering, clocking long hours in the field before deciding quite wisely that there had to be more to life than burnout. So what did he do? He wandered from the deserts of Nevada to the hills of Great Britain, exploring what freedom without structure felt like. And when that didn't quite satisfy, a bit of sibling wisdom pointed him toward a new path, massage therapy. Trained at the Berkana Institute in Longmont, Colorado, he's spent the last decade building a career that's equal parts healing and heart. He's lived in his car to bring mobile massage to clients, become a beloved fixture at geek conventions, and now runs Denver's most uplifting at-home bodywork company. He's also a seven-year practitioner and guide in tranquil wisdom insight meditation. Please welcome the one and only wizard of massage, Corey Barker, a man whose journey reminds us that the best path is rarely the straightest one.
Good morning. Well, good afternoon at this point. Don't get me wrong, I did embellish a little bit on that story. The wandering through Utah wasn't what I would call a life-changing adventure, but it was on my way home. I think I'm incredibly fortunate. Having started out in such a hard mental structured discipline as electrical engineering and being successful in that field despite being so incredibly overwhelmed and stressed the whole time, which motivated me out of that is I didn't know anyone else who wasn't in the same position. It wasn't like the people to the next or above me were like, oh no, just give it 5 years, you'll chill out, everything will be fine. There was this you're just a pot that's boiling the whole entire time until you run out. And some part of me definitely knew, oh well, I'm gonna miss something and screw up at some point, and I don't really want to be there be responsible for all of this when that does happen. And I actually got I definitely got taken out to dinner, but I got told by several people in the company that wow, dude, you're getting out, that's actually quite impressive. It was definitely a company that had a lot of pride and camaraderie, you could say, negative camaraderie in, just got to keep grinding, the hurt is part of the whole process, it's fine, you don't need to sleep. Although that was my first experience with second winds. If you do stay up past 1 o'clock in the morning without any stimulants, eventually your body gives up and goes, okay, we're staying awake. and then I got out of there and took a year off. And that was really enough. One thing that it's definitely taken me a while to really realize and accept is that you've got friends and then you've got friends who have the same schedule as you do. So I hung out with a lot of people who are still doing the 9-to-5, and they kind of looked at me as like, I got to work, man. So you create an interesting bubble when you're not in the same workspace as your companions. But eventually I got tired. Even a trip to London and Ireland, that was really, really cool. Thus far only international visit to a foreign country. And learned a lot about stress that way too. definitely always check your arrival dates versus when your hostel or hotel is set up. Or eventually it all came down to, okay, well, the extra money we saved up is running out. You got to do something. And I still didn't have the gumption or the interest to go back to engineering. So I was actually talking to my sister, and I didn't really know this. She was just graduating from nursing school, but she said, oh yeah. And then I just went and did massage therapy, and it gave her a really good, different view on how the body functions. I was like, All right. And I looked back, we'd actually grown up with a massage therapist. Don't get me wrong, we were both very healthy children. We were treated, I guess, as it were, to a massage once a year. Our local massage therapist was actually trained. I like to use the term in the era of the Wild West in Colorado for massage therapy. She actually was, what's the right word? Taught underneath the guy who invented muscle testing, the chiropractor. So she had a lot of work that way. And she had a very, very nice balance between, well, yeah, this is out there and this is also good for you and this does work. I still can pick up a pendulum and retrain it if I really need to talk to intuition directly. And I think I could probably pull out a basic muscle testing technique if I really needed to. Okay, well, I haven't had a bad experience with that. And I like the idea of the hours. And it was, for me, it was unlike engineering. It was very definitely, oh, I don't have to wait until the project is done to find that job satisfaction of, oh, I've done a good job. Like being hands-on with someone I know immediately whether I'm doing a good job or not. And if there's any doubt, I can always ask. So that was really appealing. And really, truthfully, I could have gone and done anything. I could have gone into therapy. I could have gone, taken a bunch of yoga courses. But the important point for me at that time was to find something that would actually teach me how to deal with the stuff that engineering doesn't teach you how to deal with, which is basically everything that has to do with emotions and preference. And the only stuff I knew how to do was just hide in my video games and stomp on myself emotionally, get very destructive. Let's just basically say it was a very long, depressing period of my life. You learn a lot. You learn a lot from those.
Everything you've shared so far has been, for me, an easy to see pathway as to why and how you got into massage and the work that you do. And I want to highlight a few things. One, you were just talking about that kind of long depressed period. And I think that happens in our 20s as we're trying to find ourselves. It's a very kind of different world. And at least the clients that I work with, that seems to be a period that is often filled with, you know, dissatisfaction and depression. And so you highlighting that here today and sharing your story, I think will help other people. So thank you for sharing that. And then on top of that, you noticed when you started engineering, you mentioned something about the body, like you're starting to notice things, right? earlier on that were not related to engineering, but now related to what you do. And your bravery and understanding of that was what helped you leave the engineering firm and move into something else. So I think that the whole story that you've provided with us has a lot of different coaching concepts in there. And I really appreciate that. The other thing you mentioned was muscle testing. And LaShawn and I have our friend Kyla, who knows all about muscle testing. But maybe before we move on, since that's been brought up, could you briefly describe what muscle testing is to our audience in case they haven't experienced it?
Yeah, the view that I take on the whole psychophysical process is that there's basically two layers. It's affected by somewhat of the Chinese model. There's the conscious mind and there's unconscious mind. And the unconscious mind, the other term I use, I pull from craniosacral therapy, which is the intuition, or the, there's another term for it, the deeper self. This is the self that happens before craving, wanting things to be different how they are. And the pendulum method and the muscle testing method is a technique to get your head out of wanting a specific result, which also leaves opportunity for trying to get a result. And actually, you know, as long as you're honestly asking a answerable question to the intuition, it can bring up an honest answer. The muscle testing technique that I'm familiar with is basically binary. You ask it yes or no questions, and depending upon whether the muscles actually hold your fingers together or they let them come apart, the answer is yes or no. Coming apart is no, holding together is yes. And I might have that backwards because it has been a while. And then the pendulum, you can actually train up to like five or six, like figuring, it's not training, but it's like asking it, hey, what is yes, what is no, directions, etc. They're really simple. They're very woo-woo. And with the right intent, they are actually very useful.
I love the idea of asking a question. And I know that with muscle testing, it's really important how you ask the question, because it could influence how things go, or you might get an answer that's not really related to the truth or what you want, but you're asking a question that may not be something that you can get the right information for. And that's something that we also use in coaching as well. Questions, asking the right question, getting to the heart of the matter. Any thoughts on questions and the power of questions, how to ask a question, and where that intersects with coaching, what we do in coaching, and also what you do in massage therapy and the craniosacral work that you do?
Yeah, I heard this from two different groups of people who don't talk to each other. And I was like, okay, this makes the most sense for me. My general philosophy is that if I can't bring along whatever I need to in order to do something, then I just don't go do it. So I want the minimal amount of tools that I need to do any particular kind of job. Hence, I don't bring any massage stones or heavy equipment. I haul my table in, and that's all I've got. And there's a whole trauma story with massage stones I could tell you some other time. But the question that I heard both in cranial sacral or leading into somato-emotional release, which is the level 3 and level 4 of the Upledger training for cranial sacral, and also in my meditative practice taught by the gentleman, Bhante Bim Ramsey, who actually brought that question up in the middle of a retreat. The question itself is, what do you need? And I love that because it's 100% open. It's not framed in any kind of context of what do you need in order to receive a result. And this is the frame structure that we use both in the meditation, although usually later in the process when your mind is relaxed enough, and almost always in craniosacral, and then that also reflects into my meditative practice, or sorry, the massage practice. The nice part about that is a open-ended question like that means that whomsoever, whatsoever your attention is providing that for can go, oh, you don't need me to accommodate your view structure or your expectations, or even technically my own view structures or my own expectations of the results that I want to get out of this. And then the body just goes, oh, well, then here. And it just goes, I need to express. And usually, most of the time, it's just that it needs to vent in so many ways. The body actually relaxes really very effectively in both a mental and a physical way when it's just allowed to go, oh, I can just speak my piece, whatever the case may be. And that can come up in many ways. It can come up simply as heat, cold, or electrical tingling, or sometimes people need that to verbalize. I've had meditation sessions where I spent the whole entire time just feeling angry. And it was just anger. And I was like, okay, cool. I feel you. I agree 100% that anger is is how we feel right now. And the nice part about that too is not directing it, not expecting it, not assuming it has any kind of story or character to it, but just a expression, just being allowed to express. Means that too, it then just goes. And then when it's done, it's done. And the result is then we're finished. We have let go of whatever caused that, whatever got that stuck. Okay. So sharpest, quickest, simplest tool in my toolbox. And that informs the way in which I look at clients too. It's like, oh, okay, today you want me to work on this. And for some clients, it's like, all right, you just need elbow work. You can do a standard classic deep tissue massage or even a light effleurage, whatever the client wants. And in the creating results mindset is like, or finding out the results of what needs to happen. The, again, question, what do you need? Often I'll come to a spot and it's like, oh, this really needs something else. And it's the cool part about the body is you don't have to know what that is. There's not a book somewhere The body already knows what it needs to do. It just has to be allowed to do whatever it is that it needs to do. And that's the fun part about that question and that attitude. You just go, oh, okay, cool. What do you need? Here, you're here. I mean, I have 15 minutes, so pick what you need quite wisely. But yeah.
I love how you said the body knows what to do and it just needs a space to allow for that, you know, to happen. And I think that is so significant in coaching as well, that it is helping people understand that their capacity to be their own North Star and how we can hold the space for them to see that within themselves. And so the body is another way that that's done through massage. And it made me think a little bit more about your practice and its depth. And that also includes craniosacral therapy. So could you speak a little bit to what the practice of craniosacral therapy is and why you use it?
Yeah, craniosacral therapy is probably one of the most beautiful techniques I've ever been taught. The basic mechanical principle behind it is that you apply 5 ounces of, or not even 5 ounces, the weight of a nickel's worth of touch to the bones of the spine and the skull in order to manipulate the fascia around the central nervous system. If anyone doesn't know what fascia is, it's actually this connective tissue that we've been ignoring since forever up until like maybe 30 years ago. And it's all the stuff that goes around the organs, around the muscles. It's actually embedded literally everywhere in the body. And the current most progressive theory that I've heard is it's actually part of the nervous system as well. So it's intelligent, or it's part of the intelligence. It's connected to everything. And one of the reasons why you can have something going on in your hand and it have it affect your left hip, for example. There's just these fascial lines that twist. And when you get caught up, a good practitioner can go, oh, I just need to torture your hand for half an hour and then work the rest of the way and watch it unwind. There's also this material wrapped around the central nervous system. But unfortunately, in order to get to it in the classic sense, you'd literally have to destroy it because that requires surgery, right? So what Dr. Upledger discovered back in the 80s, I think, was that by providing the most gentle and unassuming touch to the bones around the central nervous system, he was able to actually cause them to pull that fascia, what he assumed was the fascial structures around the central nervous system, that then can actually loosen really tiny, what's the right word, twists and turns. So if any of the material around the central nervous system is actually obfuscated or bent or pulled in a particular direction, it actually affects the central nervous system directly. And for some people who have, hey, my back just hurts and there's no x-ray MRI that can say why, and that's just a generalized assumption, it can often be very helpful for that because we get to that and go, oh, okay. And again, because the subconscious mind, for lack of a better term, is aware of this, but it just doesn't have access to knowing that it can do that or hasn't been allowed to sit down and actually work on that itself, a therapist comes in, maybe the first go, maybe the third try. It really depends upon who the person is and how ready they are to change that deeply. But it can, it has been proven really good as an effective tool for that.
Great. And then, why that? I know you talked about what it is. Why do you go with that over other modalities?
Because I don't have to rely on my own assumptions. In massage therapy, there's a lot of assumptions on how the body works. And whatever the client also says is based upon entirely what they want out of the experience, which is not to say that I ignore that. There's a lot of clients that I'm like, oh, you just need a good regular deep tissue massage, and that's not a problem. Those that are that I've introduced this to and have found effective for, it's often, okay, we need to work on this today, and then I'll bring it up. And because the basis of the whole practice itself is, what do you actually need? That openness, that acceptance of, maybe today we feel like the hips need work, but actually it's the neck. And I can have that conversation with the conscious part of the mind going, hey, this is what I'm feeling. What do you think? And because there's no actual disconnect between the two, they have to actually go, oh, yeah. And intuition usually throws up a, hey, yeah, please. I've been trying to tell you this whole entire week. Can we have this worked on? And then the conscious mind is like, oh, yeah, no, that's fine. Let's work on that. So you get to play with the intuition without ever forcing or overriding what the conscious mind is actually really wanting.
Yeah, so there was one question over here when you were talking about the craniosacral that made me wonder what would you tell somebody who's never had that type of therapy, that type of massage? How would you open that conversation to somebody who's just never had that?
If they're specifically seeking it, I'll give you the same exact, I'll give them the same exact description that I gave you earlier. All it is the light manipulation of the bones of the spine and the skull to see if what there might be going on in the central nervous system. And the nice part about that is for people that it is actually effective for, they have really good releases within the first or second opportunity. And a release is a general softening and relaxation of the tissue and the muscles in the body, maybe or maybe not directly related to whatever we find. The nice part about craniosacral, the basic craniosacral too, is it's a protocol. You just go head to toe or head to hips through everything and see what comes up with that. And then after the body's been like, oh, that's what's going on. You're not doing anything invasive. You're just moving things around. And it really actually relaxes further into that. And you satisfy both the intellectual, oh, this is the process of this, as well as the emotional subconscious of you can develop that trust that way. If they haven't, if they're more of a regular deep tissue client, it's actually quite simple. We'll be working together for a while, and I'll even still come into the session going, okay, what do you need? And then as things come up, I can be like, oh, well, I feel this, and I have a technique for that. Would you like to try it? And especially if they're a bit more of a stingy kind of person, they'll be like, well, this doesn't cost me anything. If you've got time, I can offer you a free sample as part of this as like a 15-minute add-on. Most of the time, they actually haven't needed that. Most people have been very receptive to that. And the nice part about craniosacral in general is at the very, very worst, you have a really nice expensive nap. And that's one thing I like to bring up for people too. It's like, I mean, you can try it. I wholeheartedly believe that for most people, this is very effective, but don't worry. If anything at all happens, you dream a really bad dream the whole entire time. So it's a very, very non-invasive, effective technique. And in this culture where touch in general almost always involves something being wanted or not wanted, it's a very unique technique. Like even massage therapy can involve, oh, we really need to make this muscle do what it needs to do, which is not to say that's not effective, but improperly handled, you can actually hurt somebody.
I'm wondering when someone does craniosacral therapy or even massage therapy, when they come in with a desire, with something that they want, can you just talk us through the process of that journey where a client comes in with something desired and they learn something? It seems like the body knows what to do. And if we come in with an agenda, I'm just wondering how that plays out in your interacting with your client and the journey that your clients go through. Do they end up coming out of it without that agenda, a different agenda, or learning something different?
Agendas are 100% valid. That's the unique part about the whole thing. And it's not just, it also means that agenda is not a unique floating thing. It's not like someday I was like, oh, I really need footwork done today. It's, just because I felt like it or because I saw a sign somewhere that said, footwork, it's the savior of all, right? Agendas always come from something else. When it comes down to the body, it's always, oh, my foot hurts, or I have a very stiff leg. And that then creates whatever story they need to about why and what needs to be done. The advantage of the journey is that they can stay 100% in the, oh, my leg hurts space. And I can still go, okay, but what is the body actually trying to tell them? And if it is somewhere else in their hip, which is actually very common, if you have a knee issue, it's often a hip and vice versa. You can have a hip issue and it's related to the knee. So you go, okay, cool. Like, we're definitely going to touch that because that's where it hurts. And we're also going to let the body show us where the actual problem may be. And it might not be related to anything physical at all. It might simply just be a held up emotional state that pulls all the fascia in one direction. And as soon as, you know, it releases maybe in the chest area, or like, for example, I've got a friend who does TMJ, temporal mandibular, which is basically working on the jaw. And I was like, hey, you're really good at this. I've had problems lately. Let's have you work on that. And she was doing something on the right side over here for me. And it was unraveling on the left hip, which is something that I've had a problem with for like 2 years now. And it's this, the fun part about this whole thing is you don't have to really understand all the mechanical details of how the body functions. All you really need to know is the body already knows. We are just making space for it to actually do what it needs to do to support it. We're in cranial sacral therapy, we look at ourselves as support, which reflects really nicely into teaching the meditation practice that I'm in. We're not here to tell you how your meditation going, how your massage is going. We're here to be like, well, this is the bumper that keeps you between the lines, but you really still have to do this yourself. You have everything you need in order to get to where you think you need to be going, but actually to discover where that actually is, which generally comes out as relief from fill in the blank.
Yeah. I think this is a good time to turn the conversation maybe to what meditation as well, because you, I think you mentioned that is also in your skill set. And so maybe just talk a little bit about your approach to meditation and how it can be helpful.
I'm going to be 100% honest. The community that this comes out of is Buddhist in background, and the methodology is claimed to be a resurrection of the Buddha's original teachings. The thing that I prefer to do, actually, because there is so much wrapped in the word meditation and Buddhism and anything related to that, there's a result that's expected culturally at this point. Be mindful. Just go meditate. I encourage, especially people coming from other practices, to take that terminology and be like, okay, we're gonna take meditation. We're just gonna put it on the shelf. And we're going to take mindfulness and put it on the shelf there. And all it really boils down to is two things. The basic meditation is just being loving and kind to yourself and someone else for 30 minutes. Spend the first 10 minutes wishing yourself loving and kind thoughts, and then spend the next 20 minutes wishing loving and kind thoughts to someone whom it is very easy to wish loving and kind thoughts to. Make it really simple. And that by itself, as far as I'm concerned, is a miracle. How many of us take time out of our day to be like, you're awesome. May you be happy. We want other people to tell us that, yet just simply saying that to ourselves, even if we don't believe it, causes just a little bit of warmth and happiness. And the use of the phraseology of that actually generates a feeling called metta, or loving kindness. And for some people, it can be more kind. Some people, it's more loving. It's usually the same warm, fuzzy feeling you feel when you're holding a baby or a kitten, or you're thinking about a really warm, wonderful day. It's a really easy feeling to share when you're uplifted. And then, like anything else, learning to ride a bicycle, practicing for an engineer exam, anything you're trying to learn, inevitably you get distracted by Facebook or the laundry or, oh God, what's happening on my phone, right? And this is the second part. The second part is what's called the six R's. And most of the time what happens when we're distracted, we're like, oh no, I failed. I've fallen off the bike. I'm not doing my homework. God, I'm such a failure. We beat ourselves up, especially here in America. The Thai people are exact opposite, mind you. I can tell you all about that, but it's a whole different training program for them. They're way too chill. And what you practice when you notice, when you recognize that you are not being loving and kind to yourself or to your, what's called your spiritual friend, you do the six R's. And the first is obviously, oh, I've already recognized that I'm not doing what I set out, what I said I would do for the next 30 minutes. And you'd be okay with that. You release it. It's like, oh, okay, cool. I was thinking about laundry. And this is me verbalizing the actual experience. So you just, I've recognized, I allow it to be, I release what it is. And then everything that is within the realm of the word unwholesome, which wishing loving and kind thoughts to yourself or someone else is very wholesome, inevitably comes with a certain amount of tension. And it doesn't matter where it's at, you just relax. So you've recognized, you've released, you relax. And then you go to the most basic method of being uplifted, which is to smile or re-smile, return to bringing the corners of your mouth up. I'm sure you guys have heard of the studies that said that even a fake smile affects your mental chemistry just a tiny little bit. And then you return to wishing loving and kind thoughts to yourself or to whomever. And then you are determined to repeat. And that's it. You do that for 30 minutes. If you're on retreat, you rinse and repeat that and then also do 15 minutes of walking. But as just a daily practice, half hour, wishing loving and kind thoughts to yourself and then someone else, using the six R's to come back to that. And you just skip over the whole self-abuse negativity cycle that we're so used to. You don't skip it, but you get really good at going, oh, I'm beating myself up. I recognize that I'm not kind to myself. It's a repeat.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I love the simplicity of it. Just really focusing on loving yourself and loving others. And that's it. Rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. And I think that's definitely a practice worth adopting.
I would encourage you to remember that it's loving kindness all wrapped in one.
Loving kindness.
The understanding of that is important. And using the phraseology, you'll feel it. For me, loving in American English has a lot of other connotations. So making sure it's tied with loving kindness, it's a gentle acceptance, a warm, gentle acceptance of whatever's happening. And the cool part about that is as long as your attention is 99% on the feeling of loving kindness, you don't have to use the six R's. And you can have, like I said, I've had sittings where anger was just the theme of the day. And that was fine as long as I was continually going, oh, okay, I'm okay with this. Much meta to myself or whomsoever. It's basically an attitude training. There's a third aspect of this that is observation, but this generally comes out naturally as part of the practice because your mind calms down as part of this. You start going, oh, my mind went here, and then it went here, and it went here. And we use the term mindfulness for this, being mindful, being aware of how your mind jumps from one thing to another, to a feeling, to a thought, to a pain, and just noticing that it is constantly doing this, your attention is just moving. But we generally don't talk about that too much when people start out. So like, no, just be kind to yourself, will you?
Yeah.
Get that part first.
Yeah, that really goes with the benevolence of coaching as benevolence, the kindness.
Yeah.
I think this is a really good segue. At the end of the podcast episodes, we do a coaching nuggets of wisdom. And as almost everything that you have been talking about today has been full of these beautiful pearls of wisdom, we just take kind of a summary of what we've been talking about. And we share just a coaching nugget of wisdom that we would like to leave our listeners with. When we have a guest, usually either Aaron or I go first, and then the guest ends with their own coaching nugget of wisdom. So I'll go ahead and go first. I think one of the coaching nuggets of wisdom that has come up is the body and the wisdom of the body. And I encourage our listeners to explore what our bodies are telling us and what we want to hear or learn from our bodies.
I like that. In Corey's bio, I believe it was in Corey's bio, LaShawn, you shared that he believes that things are not linear, or the career path is not linear, or one of you said, maybe Corey said that early on in the podcast, but I think I'm going to circle all the way back to that from the beginning, just to say that, you know, healing isn't linear. And what we've learned with Corey as our guest today, between the approaches to meditation, to craniosacral therapy, and then our own coaching practices between LaShawn's coaching and positive intelligence and me and grief and loss support, I think it's just a gentle reminder that you have an array of tools to try, and it's not, there won't be any mistake in the process. There's always something to be learned as you select whatever healing modalities work for you.
That's very nice. I would offer two things. The first is always just come back with a smile. I've had times where I was having a really bad day and I smiled, and that inspired me to actually thank someone. Like, I thanked a guy down on the 16th Street Mall for taking out the trash. And he looked at me and said, "What?" I was like, "No one ever does that. Wow, man, you just made my day." And that was all it took. And then when it comes down to your journey, be very clear in yourself currently what healed looks like. And that's okay if you don't know, as long as you're intending to find out. Because once you're there, then there will be something else. And that will be something different. And you'll get to learn something new.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much, Corey. We've been talking to Corey Barker, Wizard of Massage. And if you could just let us know, let our listeners know where we can find you.
Yes. You can look me up on social media, and that would be a bad idea. your best bet is to either email me, Corey, Cori, at yourwizardmassage.com. Obviously, yourwizardmassage.com is the web address. Or you can give me a call or text, 720-664-7934.
Wonderful. And we'll have that in the episode description so that you'll have that available in case you didn't have a pen and paper while you were listening to this. Thank you again, Corey. We really appreciate you being here and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you, LaShawn and Aaron. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Maychelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.